meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you for joining the Root Zone LGR study group meeting on 16th of April 2018. We have Ajay Data, Dennis Tan, Gaurav Vedi, Mirjana Tusk, Wang Wei, Edmund Pitinan, and Sharmad on the call. So over to you, Dennis. And
thank you.
There's an audio only participant. Could you identify yourself?
Hi, Sharmad. This is Ali Reza.
Hello, Ali Reza. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
So, sorry, back to you, Dennis.
Thank you, Sarmat, and welcome, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. So this is our second meeting on the Roots and LGR study group. Just as a way of recap, last time we have started looking at the scope of the expected ideas of the study of this study group, and we look at what validation of future TLDs meant, definition of binary TLDs, and I think the rest of the items are self-explanatory. Is that the case, or is anyone not clear as to what needs to be, or the items that these items mean? And since we don't have a visual way to manage the queue, please just state your name that you want to be in the queue, and I will manage it.
Sarmad here. May I come in?
Yes, Sarmad.
Yes, so just to add that if you're joining us this time, we are really looking at the wiki page, and wiki page has an initial set of issues, and I think that's what Dennis is referring to. So you have a wiki page link, and that's probably where you would like to look for it. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarma. And please, if you're not speaking, please mute your phone. I do hear some background noise. Thank you. So yeah, if I can point everyone to the wiki page, again, we don't have means to share URLs or links, so let me know if you cannot find the link so that we can send it by email. Why I don't just do that? Send it now. I noticed there's one more item that was included in the list. Sarma, is that correct? When should Roots and LGR be implemented in the application process?
Actually, I have bullet points under the second bullet.
Yeah, those two, yeah.
So, and I think that's probably the only change I did from last time. But I'm not sure whether the one you're referring to was there before or I've added it later. But I made some edits since last time. I know at least those two sub-bullets under the definition of variant TLDs, the second and the third sub-bullet I added later.
Got it. Thank you, Sarma. So I think what I like to do today is to lock down on the scope that this study group wants to move forward with. Does anybody have a different idea? I think what we want
that
first is to... Yes?
Ajay Data is here.
Hello, Ajay.
From the... hello. So it is, I was just wondering, will the trademark issue will also come under the scope, or we have dropped down, or is it active while filing the applications?
So can you elaborate what do you mean by I mean, trademarks in scope?
Yeah. So, basically, when the applications are being filed for root zone LGRs, and the objective, I think, which I understand for this group is that how to apply for a root zone IDN, PLD, and this is where do we think in an application somebody should specify whether he is owning a trademark or not, or he has done a study or not, or he's infringing somebody's brand name or not. And why I'm telling you is because we see lots and lots of issues cropping up, including the Amazon issue which we are fighting in ICANN already. So do you think something like that to be done for IDNs, or we just leave it open, or should be a part of the application process or not?
Thank you, Ajay. I think I got your concern. Now, I think this is a good moment, and Ajay, sorry I didn't welcome you because this is your first meeting. So I think for the benefit of the new participants, I think we should restate what this study group is expected to look at, and that is the technical recommendations for the application of the root zone LGR to future policy. So that's the scope. And Sarma, please chime in if you feel appropriate. But we have to. This study group is supposed to focus on technical issues and not policy. And to me, I believe trademark infringement or that would be on the policy side of it and not a technical issue. The application of the root zone LGR would be agnostic whether a apply for label for top level domain name it's similar to a trademark or brand or whatever or an existing PLD, right? That would remain, I believe, on the policy side of the themes rather than a technical application of the LGR.
So, Sarma, for the queue, please.
Go ahead, Sarma.
Thank you. So, the confusion may be because of the use of the word application here. So when we use application here, it's not really about the application of a TLD. So it's not that application. Actually, we're talking about applying root zone LGR as part of the process. So I think our main focus, as Dennis also said, is the technical issues related to applying root zone LGR for determining valid and variant labels is concerned. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sarma. Okay. So that's clear, AJ?
I'm fine. Yes, perfectly okay. I was confused with the word application only. That's fine.
That may be as far as the confusion, but yeah, it's about how do you apply the root zone LGR to future TLDs applications, if that's fair.
That's fine.
So let me just go quickly. I mean, from my understanding of these items here in the list of in the wiki page and how we understand it, right? So let me just go from the top. Validation of future TLDs. As Sarma explained last time, the validation of future TLDs really come down to in two items, right? It's real for gTLDs by means of the application guidebook, how those apply for TLDs are processed, and for ccTLDs, the process is the fast track procedure. So how this root zone LGR will have a role in these two processes, in the 4G TLDs and CC TLDs. The second item, the second bullet, is the definition of Valiant TLDs and their disposition based on the Rootson LGR. Some of you are familiar with the Rootson LGR procedure, and some of you are participating in the generation panels in different scripts, so you are familiar how this is relevant, right? So the Rootson LGR is basically a big IDN table that is comprised by single script copon repertoires, and the combination of the Valiant rules, whole level evaluation rules, and how do you, and this IDN, master IDN table, if you will provide calculation of Valiant labels, Valiant TLDs. And so how do we expect, or can we think of any technical issues applying those Valiant labels? I mean, for one, is always the number of allocatable variants the Rootson LGR calculates. Well, is there an issue of that application, right? The number of it, whether allocatable means activation as well, and what do we do with block TLDs, etc. And those are listed there, right? So the sub-bullets of the definition of variants, whether policy could further reduce allocated variant TLDs, a very specific issue to deal with. The variant label states and transition between them, whether if it's allocatable, can you block it? If it's blocked, can you make it allocatable afterwards? Those things are we need to be looking at. And adherence to the variant set defined by the Rootson LGR. The Rootson LGR will calculate a number of variants and calculate their disposition, whether allocatable or block. Is that good enough? What about if an applicant does not agree with the calculations? What are going to be the remedies or the process to deal with those cases? That's something that we are going to look at. The third bullet is the application of Rootson LGR on reserve IDN labels. And I think here, Sarmat, I need a little bit of help here. So when you say application of Rootson LGR on reserve IDN labels, these are talking about the ICANN reserve labels, such as Olympic Games, Red Cross, and...
Right, exactly.
Right? Okay. Right, okay. So how the Rootson LGR will, you know, basically preserve the reserve status of those special labels, if you will. Okay.
Right, Samad, for the queue, please.
Go ahead, Sarmat.
Yeah, so one implication, of course, is possibly going to be that those reserve labels will now generate variants as well. So those variants, for example, would need to be reserved.
Understood. Okay, so moving on to the next bullet, the question is, when should Rootson LGR be implemented in the application process? One possibility as a precondition of the stream. What are the implications of streams not covered by the Rootson LGR? Right. For example, today the Rootson LGR only has a limited number of scripts. Right. I think Arabic, Khmer, and other few. Right. What later on we don't know how many of these scripts are going to be supported. So we need to think about what if a apply for TLD is not covered within the Rootson LGR. What are going to be the alternative for those applications? What's going to be the process by which ICANN organization can process those applications? And as a way of background, those are not familiar with how the gTLD process. Apply for labels. There was a preliminary review of applications which basically were confirming whether the apply for label was compliant with dating standards. For example, just generally, is it under 63 characters, for example, and if the apply for label was an IDN, was it compliance with the IDNA 2008 protocol and other RFCs, other protocol standards as well. So I think the question goes into where in this process the Roots on AGR should be applied, right? It's down in the preliminary process and maybe used as a tool for the applicant to use, as they did for back in 2012. And those are the things that we need to think of. Next bullet is the harmonization, the harmonized application of the Roots on LGR for GTLDs as CTLDs. I think that's a pretty straightforward ask to look at what are the implications to have this LGR applied for both TLDs, right? Genetic and CCTLD with null extinction, or should there be any distinctions between these two types of TLDs? And also, last but not least, we need to think about remaining requirements for security and stability that are not to cover today. And again, what is a secure, stable, and objective process to resolve cases when the applicant does not agree with the calculation of the LGR. So that this is basically the scope that we are going to look at. I think we can have a conversation today. How do we want to go? Do we want to go in this work from top to bottom, or do we have a prioritization as to looking at the issues here first? I want to open up that for discussion this, I think, the next 5 minutes to have a conversation around how do we tackle these issues and whether this is the least or can we think of anything else that we need to think of from a technical standpoint, how do we apply the Roots on LGR to future applications of TLDs?
Ajay, in the queue.
AJ, please go ahead.
Okay. That is wonderful explanation, and I just wanted to see that maybe we can spend 5 minutes and ask anybody has any questions related to the clarifications first on the points. And likewise, I just want to clarify one of the points, which is applications for reserved IDNs. And I heard Sarbad, and what I get from that point is, and this is I'm asking to correct if I'm wrong, that if we have a reserved IDN and dot game or something like that, and it has a variant which is allocatable or blocked, it might impact somebody else's application in future. So is this something, this is the reason it is here, or are we trying to achieve something else?
So I can respond to that, Sarmat here.
Yes.
Yes, Sarmat, please.
So yes, the intention is that applying root zone LGR, not only, I think the reason to include this point here was to, I guess, point out that applying root zone LGR to TLDs not only has implications on the applied for TLDs or applied for labels, but also for labels which the community actually thinks are reserved, because all the variants of that reserved label are also considered quote unquote same. That's a, I guess, underlying definition of what a variant is. And therefore, I guess, question is that if you allow for, so I guess we're going into that discussion now, but yes, that's really the question that we need to discuss this. Bring that out and then see, you know, whether it is possible, it could be possible technically speaking, for somebody to actually apply for a variant label if the actual label is actually reserved.
So that's my question, because if it is reserved, will it not be automatically be shown up into the search tool or somewhere, or maybe if it is a block, so that will not allow somebody else to reserve a variant label?
Right. So assumption is that when some label is reserved, it's that specific label and not all the variants. And a label could have thousands of variants.
Okay. Okay. Got it.
You good, Ajay? Okay. Edmund?
Yeah. Edmund here. Hopefully you can hear me. So a couple of things. One is actually back to Ajay's question and Samad's clarification and application. It is a bit confusing as we go on to talk about it. So probably we should find another word like utilization, and I see somewhere it uses implementation to clarify it. Even in if we create the report, that might be useful to bear in mind. So also on Ajay's original suggestion in terms of trademark and stuff, I'm thinking through that, and maybe there is something that we might want to look at in terms of dispute or resolution part. So let's say somebody applies for a IDN GTLD and its variant happens to be a trademark of somebody else, and but however the variant is actually not the intended string. Maybe it becomes a block variant, for example. How that would apply when somebody is trying to make a trademark objection in the process. So maybe that is actually something that we might need to look at. So I don't want to wipe that off the board yet. So and probably that should add to it. Add to the list here. And the other thing is we probably don't need to close off completely, as in the scope. So as we discuss the issues, there are potential to, discover more items that we need to cover. So I guess the suggestion, yes, I think what is listed here looks like a good starting point. Let's go into the substance of it. We could be open to more as we go along.
Once again, Dennis,
thank you.
If you permit me.
Yeah, let me just respond to Edmund. So I'm making a note to, the use of the term application. Maybe we can use a different term to not to be conflated with the application of a GTLD. And the trademark use case, I don't feel strongly to add it or not add it. So can you, Edmund and AJ, put it in writing what the use case might be so that we can capture that and scope it?
So thank you, Dennis. Actually, if I apply .asia in Devanagari, how do you do in that situation?
Yeah, I don't want to go into details for that specific use case. Let's write the abstract, what the use case might be, and maybe examples if you are already thinking of, and let's open that for discussion later. So, but what I want to do today is, are we fine with these points? I get that we might find other items as we make progress on our analysis, and we might want to add new items here, which I'm fine with. But I think at this point we don't want to drop any of these, right? We want to start with these, and the next question is, how do we start? Do we start just, by the suggested, top to bottom, or do you find any of these more important that we should tackle that first one?
Sarman for the queue, please.
Go, Sarman.
Thank you. So one of the things which I will actually suggest to everybody is to go and review the procedure, because I think one of the things we should probably is suggested as a baseline for this work is that we cannot go against the procedure which is being implemented, because if we go against the procedure, then the root zone LGR itself actually becomes null and void, unfortunately. That's what the procedure says. Constraining exercise, we need to remind ourselves what the procedure, how the procedure constrains us, and some of the discussions actually will happen in that context. So I would suggest that we all go and also review the procedure as well to refresh some of those details.
Thank you, Sarman. And when you're talking about the procedures, Sarman, is there an area specifically that you're referring to, or is
So it's an LGR procedure document based on which the mm-hmm. regional LGR is developed. And the LGR procedure document actually says that if the procedure is violated, then the root zone LGR itself actually becomes null and void, and it should be frozen and not applied anymore.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Okay, so going back to the prioritization exercise, anyone have a opinion as to how do we start tackling these items? Just go with, pick the bottom and then work our way through, or do you feel that any one of these has it's more important and we should tackle it first and then move on to the next one, et cetera. I got Gaurav and one more person wanted to go. What was that, AJ?
Ajay. Okay. Yes.
Okay, so Gaurav and AJ. Gaurav, please.
Yes, so I think the better approach is to, start with one point at a time, maybe every week, member team. So they will go back and they revisit what needs to be done, come back with thoughts and ideas. Like they, for example, pick the first one, validation of future TLDs using root zone LGR. So everybody should come up with a recommendation, thought process, and then let's discuss this next week. And let's try to handle each, tackle each point week by week basis. We can go from top to down, bottom approach. I think that's what I would suggest, everyone. In case, and there might be some overlap of, I'm expecting some overlap between some of the points. Maybe harmonized application with, having some overlap with secure, stable, objective process as well. So we can always go back and revisit those things during our discussions. But I think the better idea is to just, pick one point at a time in every meeting and then just, capture all the thought points and thought process around it. That's it.
Thank you, Gaurav. AJ?
I'm still confused, Dennis, actually, because when I go through these points again and again, it points my mind towards more on application to be filed by people than... I think what we need to be clear is, and I myself see, if you see point second, bullet point second, point one, whether policy could further reduce allocable variant TLDs, and we come here on policy again here. My point is, if we have a clear-cut objective, what we are trying to achieve here, if we can write that in one or two lines, maybe we become more clearer and then redefine these points. And I agree with Gaurav that we obviously we have to discuss point by point and see the hierarchy of each point and then discuss them out. I think we need to also put them in hierarchy and of right order, what is important first, and then it has an impact on the second point. So my point is, if we can define the boundaries and define the objective of this entire discussion so that we can validate again and again and come back if we are going out of the boundaries.
Thank you, AJ. I understand the what you are describing. So let me just offer my take on these. And I too had a struggle between, okay, so what's a technical recommendation and what's policy, right? And how do we keep these separate from each other? And just to, I mean, follow up on your example, right? That example of allocatable variance. I think the way to look at from a technical standpoint is, and maybe I have a benefit because I'm coming from the registry operations. And so as a registry operator, how would we as a back-end registry services would manage variant TLDs, right? And is there any things that need to think about when it comes to managing variant TLDs and how these should be managed? Of course, I mean, having let's just pretend for the sake of the example that the LGR calculates for a given label 10 allocatable variants. Do we recommend from a technical standpoint that all these variants be activated or potentially be activated 10 variant TLDs, right? And what are the implications to second level domain names being activated, each of these second level domains also having variants, and from a registry resolution standpoint, how do we manage all these combinations, permutations of domain names? So that's the way I think of it, as a we can have a clearly and more objective way if you do this, right? If you simply allocate or activate all the variants calculated by the LGR, these might happen. And so from a technical standpoint, we recommend X. And then our recommendation will be picked up by the policy groups and decide and look at the recommendation and decide what path to take. But I think what our work is to lay out, look at the issues here from an implementation standpoint. And I think Banyan is one of the areas that we want to look at and point what might be the issues concerning about Banyan allocation and activation at the top level domain name, and what implications that might have in lower levels of the DNS. Other example is how do we have a secure, stable, objective process to resolve cases. Again, I look at in that one, I don't have clarity as to how we separate it from policy to technical, because from a technical standpoint, if the LGR does not offer the script, how do you? I mean, I'm sorry, this is has nothing with the script, but if they don't agree with the calculation, so I mean, I don't think from a technical standpoint there's anything that we can do unless there is a process by which a new coupon can be added and how that coupon should be added to the new LGR and so on and so forth, right? So so there are ways, and I think what we could do is to maybe expand. I think I'll work with Sarma, and I'm just offering these off the top of my head. So I'll work with Sarma to expand these to different questions and the so that we can further, you know, look into the more in granular way, what do we want out of these, each of these items? And going back to your point of what is the actual scope, what are we trying to solve for here? But I think that's the one thing that I can offer, right, to work with StarMed and expand these to a more granular level so that we can grasp the actual problem statement to a one single single issue. Does that sound fair? Anybody have any comments, reactions?
Samad, for the queue, please.
Go ahead, Samad.
Thank you. So just to add a bit more on what you just said, so what you're saying is entirely correct. And in some of these cases, it may actually be just stating the obvious, which may actually be obvious for most of the people because they're directly involved with the generation panels and with the technical community. When this eventually these recommendations go to CCNSO and GNSO, and we have people who have coming from a different point of view and different experience, those things may actually not be as obvious to them. I think they may actually be looking at the expertise of this group to address some of those questions. And as I said, in some cases to us, it may actually be obvious, but it is sometimes useful to just still state it. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarma. Anyone else? Any reactions, comments? Please.
Hi, this is Wale.
Hello? I'm sorry, it was Wei? Wei Wang?
Yeah. This is Wei Wang.
Yeah, Wei. Go ahead, please.
Yeah. I have a question about the item 2 and the first sub-item, the weather policy could further reduce allocatable variant TLDs. I'd like to ask Sethma to give us or more rationale behind this, behind this item, because I suppose that the LGR rules are kind of stricter algorithm rules that will generate the allocatable variant labels and the block labels. I'm not sure if policy will be allowed to join the process to make the decision. If policy is allowed to do that, then I think it should not only decide whether or not to reduce allocatable variant labels, and I think perhaps the policy should also be during the process to decide whether to increase the allocatable variant TLDs. So I'm not sure, the terminology policy here is what kind of policy, and why it is only related to reduce. It is possible for the policy to join the to increase the variant labels.
Sarmad, I'd like to respond.
Go ahead, Sarmad.
Okay, so I think Wangwei's raised a couple of points here. I'll take the second one first because I think that's quicker to respond to, and that is why this is only going in the direction of reducing allocatable variants and why allocatable variants cannot be increased. The reason for that is that if we have to increase variant labels, allocatable variant labels, the only way to do it would be to make blocked variants allocatable. And the procedure doesn't allow that. However, the procedure does not allow, say anything about, for example, reducing allocatable variants further. Based on the procedure, that's why this is in one direction. Then coming back to the first question, why reduce allocatable variant TLDs?
I shared basically some feedback from we discussed this very briefly last time, and based on that I shared some feedback from I quoted ESSAC and basically integration panel where both of these technical groups actually have asked for minimizing allocatable variants, and basically IP actually based on their observations in root zone LGR1 release say that in some cases, not in generally, but in some boundary cases, there may actually be labels which still generate quite a few labels even though root zone LGR tries to minimize them. And in those I guess boundary cases, there may actually be extra restrictions which for example could be put and report which was a precursor of the LGR procedure basically identifies three particular points, for example, in evaluating variants. For example, one is usability, whether a variant is actually usable. And then there are obviously cases where you generate variants which are not usable. The second is the need, and the third is the security and stability part of it. So the variants should be usable, their need should be needed, and should, for example, be secure and stable. So there are additional, for example, constraints which could be put. Just to give you an example, suppose a variant is generated for which you have to change keyboards to type the label because some characters are from one particular language and another one from another language, and they are mixed together in a way that all of the characters in a variant label don't come from the same, a single language, which means anybody who would want to type that label will need to switch keyboards between within the process, and that has a significant implication on usability of that TLD. So just an example of some of the things we could think of when we are looking at it. Thank you.
Thank you, Sharma. I have another question.
Yes, Juan, please go ahead.
Yeah. For all allocatable variant labels generated by the LGR, I suppose that not all of them will be allocated or delegated. So there might be some, the reserved or allocatable labels that are not delegated, not written in the root zone file. So what if the applicant wants to reactivate this, allocatable variants but not delegated at the first run application?
Sure. Samad here. Can I come in? Respond to that?
Yeah, please.
Sure. So that's an application process. So I guess to me that would be a policy question on how that is organized. But it could be one round, it could be multiple rounds, it could be somebody can apply on a rolling basis. That's something which obviously the application process for CCNSO and GNSO need to take care of. As far as the technical side is concerned, something which is allocatable, and one of those variants is actually applied for and assigned, the rest of them are withheld, and then obviously at that time or at a later time a withheld label actually can be allocated to somebody. So technically there is nothing stopping it. Thank you.
Correct. And just if I might add, the technical angle is to, are there any applications of activating a variant after the fact after a TLE has been active, and if that variant becomes activated, are there any concerns that we have as far as how that TLE is managed? I mean, those are the things that I think we have to look at. But that's a good addition. I think we can add it and have a conversation around it and see if any recommendations from our these study groups are warranted. Any other comments on these points? Any questions do you have? No? Okay. So being non-questions, what I want to do is to stop talking about these topics. And again, what I'm going to do is I'm going to work with Sarman and Pitina to expand these items into very specific questions and areas of what we think we might look at or what's the angle from, again, from a technical standpoint. And we'll bounce that around the main list so you can provide your input before our next meeting. So that's one action item. The other action item that I have is for AJ and Edmund to write up the trademark use case so we can add it to the and expand on it and have a look. And any questions on those action items?
This is Edmund, if I can jump in.
Yes, Edmund, please.
Mine is actually, rather than write it, it's fairly simple. It's in the dispute processes whether the Rousseau LGR will be consulted. That's the long and short of it. It doesn't have to be just trademark. The objection processes.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the long and short of it, unless then we'll go into the substance of it. You know, whether, for example, when someone wants to object to a particular applied for string or application, and they're actually objecting against a variant of it, how does that work, and whether that could even work, and then the policy probably needs to look into that. I don't,
got it.
If that's not clear enough, then I will try to send something into the list, but that is what I wanted to raise.
Thank you, Edmund. No, I think I got it, so I'm going to add this into the list of items that I'm going to create, and if you see that it's deviating from your idea, just chime in and correct it, right? Thank you. So,
that's good. I have one more comment, if I can.
You can.
I think you touched. I dropped on and off because of some connectivity issues. Sorry about that. You touched on, you know, how I guess scripts or character or languages that are not already included in the Rousseau LGR, how to, you know, whether that needs to be dealt with. Well, that's a very interesting thing, and probably we need to think about the reserve names as well. When certain languages are not included in the Rousseau LGR yet, whether all of those characters need to go into the reserve list by technical concept and therefore become part of the consideration for you know, reserve names and creating variants out of it, and also well, you can't create variants but at least in the reserve names, and then therefore the string similarity review. So that might be something that we need to think through, or at least have a sense, because let's say for example Cyrillic is not yet, let's just as an example, Cyrillic is not get included in the Rizzo Major, then when somebody applies for a Latin script, that has a potential string similarity situation with a now unable to apply for, which by default means reserved names, then do we need to deal with that, and how would the Rizzo Major play a role? So I do see that there are possible implications to that, and probably be included in our recommendations.
Thank you, Amin. Yes, valid points. Anything else? Okay, so one more thing before we adjourn is that what would be, I mean, this is an administrative item. For quorum, from a quorum standpoint, what would be the number of members that we want in any given call in order to call for the meeting and do the work, or we cancel the work? I think that's something that I want us to decide, whether the number is 50% plus one, just 50%, or three members. What do you think is the right number of members that we can have in any given call in order to do the work? And that's on a weekly basis, right? When I think we all have the expectation that there's going to be some offline work, but from a weekly call basis, what do we think is the right number of members in order to move on with the meeting? Anyone has any suggestions?
Yes, here. Can I come in?
Yes, AJ, please.
Edmund on the queue as well.
AJ, AJ.
Do we have a number of members restriction, or is it closed now? Are we going to be 8 or 10, 20, any number restriction?
Sorry, I didn't capture your question. Can you repeat, please?
I'm asking, in our study group, are we going to be 8 of us, or are we going to increase the members?
So right now, are you asking for the number? So we have 9 people signed up for full members of this study group.
So if we are open to add more members, then obviously we cannot decide a number, minimum number, because it is a growing number. So then it may be a good idea to have a percentage set from whatever members we have, and that whatever number we agree, we can set on. But I think we can start with 50, as you said, or any number is fine, because I think you should encourage rather to that everybody participate as much as possible to have better value. Thank you.
Thank you, AJ. Edmund?
Thank you. I guess I'll suggest that it's probably not necessary to set any hard, you know, number to this, whether absolute number or percentage. I guess we'll leave it to Dennis, your own judgment in some case. This is not like a standing committee that would run for years. We are looking at hopefully by the end of the year we'll be able to produce the report. So, and sometimes people might be able, may or may not be able to get on. I think as long as there's in your judgment, there would be a constructive discussion for the week, or, you know, we've received feedback from enough people on the mailing list to discuss the issue, then I think we can go ahead. However, allow me to add another point in terms of administrative. It would be very useful to bring back Adobe, but if not then we should find some way that text could be exchanged. If everyone is on Skype or on some other messaging platform, or even, you know, IRC chat or whatever, can we get that capability so that the conversation could move a little bit more smoothly? Because I can see that as we get into the discussion of substance, the requirement for more clarity on things would increase, and without the ability of some text links and all those kind of things, we might be wasting a lot of time just to clarify those things. So I'd like to suggest that we look into that.
Thank you, Edmund.
Sir, for the queue, please.
Yes, Arma, please.
So as far as the tool is concerned, I've actually put in a request for this meeting for either WebEx or Zoom. Those are the two tools we are actually currently testing. Until obviously I can finalize the tool, and then after that I think we'll have a more stable option. You know, I'm trying to work to see if we can actually have one of those two available for this meeting. It was not possible to organize for this meeting. I'm still trying to see if we can have that from next meeting onwards. Already working on it. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarma. Yes, I think that would be very useful, and I second Edmund's suggestion. All right, being at the top of the hour, I think that's it for today. Again, I will be working on the list of items that we want to look at, and I will seek your feedback through the mailing list. All right, last call for any other business. Hearing none, well, this is the end of the call. Thank you very much, and have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.